Today, we'd like to see the title of Asa, Jehoshaphat, and killed Ahab. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 16 up to 18. To another word share through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 69, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. What does it mean and how can you apply it to our lives? Question to you in chapter 17, verses 3 to 4. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not according to acts of Israel. What do these mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Last question, in chapter 18, verse 1. Jehoshaphat had riches and honors in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. What does it mean within the context, and how can you apply it to our lives? In the last time, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 16 up to 19, and he removed Makar, the mother of Asa the king, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook of Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils, and they were nowhere until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Asa, the third king of Judah during 911 up to 870 before Christ, was a good king, or a king obedient to God, except non-Phrygians to remove the pagan high places. You left the scene, you may see the map, King Ahab's Syrian worst area, Syria or Aram, the capital city, Damascus. Here's, they put, Ramoth, Gilead there, the Syria area, the city. In the historical background, the Baasha, the third king of Israel during 909, 886 before Christ, was an evil king, or a king disobedient to God. Jehoshaphat, the fourth king of Judah, during 870 up to 848 before Christ, was a good king, except his son's marriage relationship with Ahab, the evil king. And Ahab, the seventh king of Israel, during 874, 853 before Christ, was an evil king. Verses 1 to 6, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasure of the house of the Lord and of a king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come break your treaty with Baasa, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, Gath-Tekoa, Ijon, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali area. Now it happened, when Baasa heard it, that he stopped building Ramah and seized his work. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasa had used for building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. Asa, king of Judah, did the interference with Baasa, king of Israel, existing treaty with Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, making a new treaty with Syria to attack Israel with silver and gold from the temple of God. So Syria did so. Asa was able to stop through Syria Israel's building Ramah against Judah's access, taking the stones and the timbers of Ramah and using for building other cities in Judah. It's a successful strategy. Verses 7 to 8. And at that time, Hanai the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, Because you have relied on the king of Syria, and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Hanai the seer or prophet called it Asa king of Judah because he did not rely upon the Lord, but upon the king of Syria, even if the straight siege was successful. Previously, when Asa relied upon God in his crying out to the Lord in a million soldiers and 300 chariots invasion by Ethiopia, God has struck the Ethiopians. In the beginning, Asa recognized that he was not sufficient to face the huge attack Ethiopia. Call unto the Lord, put himself upon the Lord's side, received the help of the Lord. God brought him victory. Now Asa was strong, rich, and powerful. Upon Israel's threat, he used the human strategies, relying upon Syria's power, regardless of God's counsel. Asa relied upon flesh rather than God's spirit. Upon successful status, it is so dangerous to be tempted by Satan into the area of the flesh, the human wisdom or human strategies, rather than trust in God. Watch and prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 9, 12, and Matthew 26, 41. Then Jethro, Ethiopian, came out. So right here, you may read them. And Jesus said, Matthew 26, 41, watch and prayer, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, verse 8, 9, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have words. Whose heart loyal to God? Who is after God's own heart? God is just looking for people who are following God undividedly, who who wants to do a work through them with his resources. Then your life becomes rich and blessed because God just continues to flow through you. Asa was delivered and secured by the Lord in Ethiopia's attack. Now, trusting in the security given by the Lord without God's counsel, relying upon flesh, rather than to continue to trust in the Lord. So the key is just to get continually your heart in harmony with God's heart. Sadly, here are fleshly examples in churches. In prayer, we convince God of the validity of things that we are desiring, trying to urge, force, or cajoling God into seeing in our ways. It's a sales pitch for solicit fund to do the things. For example, building a mission field, any ministries matter. Number two, during prayer time, we are informing God of all of our needs. Although God knows our needs before the prayer. Book of Acts 13:12-2. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as a king, to whom also he gave a testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Matthew 6:8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So don't continually repeatedly ask. Galatians chapter 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Verse 10. Then Asa was angry with the chief and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Because of the flesh, Asa was angry, forcing others. Verse 11, note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of Kings of Judah and Israel. Verse 12, and in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Asa ignored God's counsel and visited to the physician, rather than his visits to physicians under God's counsel. Verse 13, so Asa rested with his father. He died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of ointments. They made a very great burning for him. Now, chapter 17. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the city of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to acts of Israel. Israel, actually pagan Israel. God was with Jehoshaphat, first of all, but sought the God was not according to acts of Israel. 3 and 4. Question 2. God was with Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he walked in the ways of David, who had been after God's heart. and he sought God, who was found by him. So Jehoshaphat experienced God's works, established reign, presents, received presents or kept riches, honors, removing idols, teaching the book of law of the Lord through leaders, Levites, and priests, the holy fear of the Lord on all the lands, peace without war, some Philistine and Arabians' presence, and increasingly powerful and prosperous Judah through a lot of loyal men of valor and fortified the city. On verse 18. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oath, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, always free will, you know, first step, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Up to you." Verse 5, "Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave a presents or kept presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honors in abundance, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden image from Judah." Verse 7, "Also in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levi, Shimei, Netanai, Zebadai, Asai, Semaramoth, Jehonatan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, the Levites, and with Ephesha and Jehoram, the priests. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. And some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as a tribute. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 arms, 7,700 male goats, presents. So Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortress storage cities in Judah. He had much property in the city of Judah, and men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. Verse 14, "There their numbers according to their father's house of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adonai the captain, and with him 300,000 mighty men of valor. And next to him was Johanan the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amasai the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself to the Lord. And with him 200,000 mighty men of valor, or brave soldiers, brave men. Of Benjamin, Elida, of mighty men of valor, and with him 200,000 men armed with bow and shield. And next to him was Jehoshaphat, and with him 180,000 prepared for war. These served the king, beside those the king put in the fortified cities throughout all Judah." Now chapter 18. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. It's a common mistake of believers. Jehoshaphat was made rich by the Lord. not trusting in the flesh without his consideration of God's counsel. An equivoque in marriage between marriage of his son Jehoram and Ahab, the evil king's daughter Athaliah. So he lost the first love for God, which he should see and repent, and he should continue to trust in the Lord, being in harmony with God's heart. Consequently, through Athaliah, idolatry came again into Judah, and David's descendants were almost destroyed. Again, it's a lesson to watch and pray always. All cross reference right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, 15, Revelation 2, 4, 5, Jeremiah 6, 16, 2 Chronicles 19, 2, 2 Corinthians 22, 10, up to 12. Then verse 2, after some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. So see map above. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people will be with you in the world. Verse 4, also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire the word of the Lord today. Verse 5, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, shall you go to the war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go there or not? So they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king of hand. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire over him? That means the 400 not in the prophets of the Lord. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never promises good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imeah. And Joseph said, let not the king say such things. Then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imeah, quickly. The king of Israel and Joseph, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, like two kings there, sat each on his throne. They sat at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, had made horns of iron for himself, then a visual prophecy. He said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Then messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen. The words of the prophet with one accord encouraged the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. And Micah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and king said to him, Micah, shall you go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, go and prosper, they shall be delivered into your hand. Mark the way. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Joseph, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab king of Israel to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, that is the evil spirit, and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit, lying spirit, evil spirit, in the mouth of all his prophets. The Lord said, you shall persuade him, and all prevail. Go out, do good, do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of those prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Number 20, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Was he asked the false prophets, including Zedekiah. And two, Micaiah, the true prophet, in verse 5 and 14. All false prophets ruled by a lying spirit allowed by God, like Job's case, lied to go to war. Jehoshaphat asked God's counsel through a true prophet in verses 4 and 6, but disregarded Micaiah's divine counsel in verse 22, verses 22, 24, 27. He was fleshly persuaded by Ahab and other false prophets. Verses 12 and 14. To go to war were Micah's mocking or sarcastic words to Ahab. Right here, 12 and 14. Then here, Ahab, Zedekiah, or false prophet who hates Micah. It's noted that Satan or devils may be conversed with God upon solely God's allowance for God's good purpose. Satan or devils defeated by Jesus' crucifixion with blood and resurrection. Accuses Christians day and night until the destruction into the lake of fire. Again, watch and pray always. This is a cross reference right here. So you may see Colossians chapter 15. Let's see. Having disarmed the principality and power, now is the Lord Jesus lady got victory. He made a public spectacle of the triumphing of them in it. Now Jesus is a victory. Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenath, went near and struck Micah on the cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micah said, indeed you shall see on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide. Then the king of Israel said, take Micah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and Joash, the king's son, and say, the said king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace. Micaiah's delivery of a true word of God caused his affliction in prison, showing his holy fear of God rather than man, and the joint heir of an incompatible rather than man. In other words, the fear of a man. Glorious kingdom of heaven with the present suffering time. Today, For joint heirs with Christ, our agape-loving Christ Jesus, our Lord, can't be separate by any others. Cross reference right here, so you may read them. Then 27, but Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all your people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went into battle. Of the plot in which Ahab did not wear his king robe by disguise, but Jehoshaphat wore his king robe, was diabolically, devilishly, or evil to put Jehoshaphat in the risk of death as Syria, the enemy's target. In verse 30, and to reign the nation of Judah in addition to his reigning nation of Israel. 13. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariot who were with him, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel, the target. So it was when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, and they said, it's the king of Israel. Therefore they surrounded him to attack. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. For so it was when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Syrians until evening. And about the time of sunset, he died. So we covered all three questions. Let's see. Continually available, you may join here at a conference at the end of June. Also, keep on prayer here, the South Korean the missionary. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us for whatever work God calls us to do. Please pray for one another about the necessity in these last days, perilous times. God bless you richly.